We're going to be in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. I invite you to stand out of respect for the Word of God as we read just a couple of verses here in this chapter. I'd like to read verse number 23 first. 1 Chronicles 12, 23. And these are the numbers of the bands that were ready armed to the war, and came to David to Hebron, to turn the kingdom of Saul to him, according to the word of the Lord. Then jump down to verse number 33. Of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000, which could keep rank, they were not of a double heart. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for your word as we spend some time in it today. Father, we ask that you would take the one simple message and meet the needs that we have as a church family. Speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As we come into the book of Chronicles, it's usually not one of the most favored books in the Bible if you read through your Bible every year, and I would encourage you to do that. But it's not necessarily one of the most favored books simply because it has a lot of lists. And here we have a list that at the beginning of verse 23, it gives us what this list is all about. These men were meeting up with David to establish the kingdom under David as their king. And in these groups of men that came was this group from Zebulun, Zebulun being one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And it's these warriors of Zebulun that I would like to spend a little time with this morning and learn three things that we can learn from them, three things that God shared with us concerning them. You see, these weren't just run-of-the-mill men. These were some of Israel's finest. These were some men that God could use. And what is it in their lives that made them that way? The first thing that I notice in these warriors of Zebulun is that they were prepared. They were prepared. You see, success never comes by accident. Not this type of success. Once in a while, a victory or something good can happen by accident, and it does because the hand of God is orchestrating that. But to get to the point in the lives that these men were in, it doesn't happen just by chance. It only happened because these men were prepared, and we see that in the beginning of verse number 33 when it says that they were expert in war. You don't become an expert at something overnight. You don't become an expert at something just because you take up an interest in it. You only become an expert in anything for one of three reasons. The first reason I believe that these men were experts in war is, first of all, they were faithful. These are faithful men. Faithful men have a much greater percentage of being successful than unfaithful men. I believe that these men were faithful to their cause, faithful to their country, faithful to their king. And so here they are joining up with David to establish him as king. These were men that were prepared before that time happened. Because throughout their lives they had been faithful men. If you want to have any success as Christians, and whether you like it or not, you are in the Christian warfare. You are in God's army, and you would do well if you're to have success to follow the traits of these warriors of Zebulun. The first thing required is preparation, which the first thing in preparation is just simple faithfulness. You'll never be a successful warrior for God if you're not faithful to the things of God and the simple things of the Christian life, the simple disciplines. You'll never be successful as a warrior of God if you're not faithful in reading your Bibles. As I said, I hope you read it at least through every day. I hope you read it through every year. There's no substitute for reading through the Bible every year, or at least getting through it time after time after time. It may take you less than a year, it may take you more than a year, but read every word on every page at least once. But don't stop at once. Continue to read. These men were faithful. We need to be faithful in reading the Word. We need to be faithful in our prayer life. We need to have a relationship with God that's more than the ordinary. The ordinary Christian calls themselves a Christian and goes on their merry way, never checking in with the commander-in-chief. And then they wonder why they have difficulties in their life, and they wonder why God isn't there to act on their behalf when they face challenging circumstances. It's because they haven't checked in. They haven't prepared themselves to have a relationship with their Father in heaven. But if you're prepared by being faithful in your prayer life, then God will act and God will hear and God will respond in ways that you can't even imagine at this point in your Christian life. To be prepared by being faithful, you also must be faithful in church. I just am amazed at how few Christians think the Wednesday night service is a priority in their lives, and how it's so easy to stay at home and do other things and plan things over Wednesday night service. Or how about Sunday night? How few people return on Sunday evening. Now, I understand that oftentimes work gets in the way, and that there's times when health is in the way, but the fact is, if you want to be faithful to God, you must be in the church services when the doors are open. If you're not, you're not faithful. If you're not faithful, you're not prepared. If you're not prepared, you're not going to be used of God like these warriors of Zebulun. And what about Sunday school? To be honest with you, Heritage Baptists of Upper Sandusky shouldn't have a chance against us. But they took the day and they're now we're tied 2-2. Because we've got too many Christians that don't get up in time for Sunday school. Not faithful. Or we're up, but we're just not in our place. Why is that? I don't understand. I honestly don't. It's not a rhetorical question, although it is. I just have never understood that. But if you want to be used by God, if you want to have success spiritually, it's not going to happen if you're not faithful, because if you're not faithful, you're not prepared for success, and it will not happen. A second way that they were prepared, not just by being faithful, I believe these were experienced men. Going to battle was not a new thing to them. I believe this is something they were accustomed to doing. I believe this is something they had done before. I think these men were experienced in the ways of war so that it didn't take them by shock when it first happened. In the Christian life, we also need to be experienced in the Christian warfare and the Christian service. There's only one way to gain experience, and that's by doing it. They always say that 80% of the work of the church is done by 20% of the people. Now, I think we break the curve here at our church. I believe we have more people involved than just 20%. But nevertheless, we're not all involved like we ought to be. If you want to be successful, like these warriors of Zebulun were successful, and God is picking them out and holding them up on a pedestal for you to admire and for you to copy your life after, they got involved when the battle was fought. They didn't stay home and they didn't sit on their hands and they didn't see battle as a spectator sport. You are in the Christian warfare, and if you want to be successful like these warriors of Zebulun, you've got to get involved. Find a place of ministry. Now, I don't corner people, and I don't twist arms to get involved. Some preachers would fault me for that, but I don't want you serving because you're doing it for me. I want you to serve God because you're doing it for God. Because you love Him and you're glad and grateful eternally, beginning now that He died on the cross in your place. And so, I serve for that reason. Because I owe Him my life. And though I can never repay Him for the debt He paid for me, the least I can do and the most I can do are one and the same. Offer myself as a vessel. And as you begin to do that, you begin to gain experience. God didn't just call me to preach out of the blue. I was on visitation every week, our organized visitation at the church. I was working on a bus route, and I was in Bible school working, and I was in our children's club that met on Wednesdays, Awana. Some of you have heard of that. Not what it used to be, but I was there doing whatever they asked me to do, gaining experience. What have you done for God lately? What have you done for God lately? I think a third way that they prepared themselves, they were faithful, they were experienced. I believe these men were also teachable. Teachable. The older we get, the less teachable we become. It's just a rule of life. It's a fact of life. But God wants to teach us new things. When God looks at us, you know, He doesn't look at us the same way we look at each other. I think we understand that. We look in the mirror, and at least maybe I should just speak for myself here. I speak in the mirror and I see this guy with thinning, graying hair. I say, man, you old geezer, what's wrong with you? But you know, God doesn't look at me that way. God counts our years differently. We count our years and say, man, I'm getting old. But compare yourself with God, who's eternal, has always been. And think the way God thinks, that you're not getting old, you're just getting closer to home. That if you're a born-again Christian, you will never die. There is no such thing as age. And God wants to teach you things, and He wants to show you things, and He wants to see you grow closer to Him, irregardless of how old or young you may be. That's just the way God is. We've got to be careful to always maintain a teachable spirit. That as we come to God's Word, we're willing to listen to what the Holy Spirit would show us in that sitting. That when we come to church, our hearts should be open to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. It shouldn't matter who the preacher is. It shouldn't matter how good or how poor the sermon is. All that should matter is that you've come to hear something from God and that you allow the Holy Spirit to take the frail effort made by whoever the preacher may be to share His Word with you. And that if you'll listen to the Holy Spirit, God will show you something. Be teachable. I believe these warriors of Zebulun were prepared because they were faithful, experienced, and teachable. But we need to move along. That's only the first quality they had that we need to mimic in our Christian life if we're to ever have the success that these men had in life. The second thing we find that they had, not only were they prepared, but they were unified. They were unified. Look again in verse number 33. The Bible tells us, moving on towards the end of the verse, it says, which could keep rank. Now that's not so hard if you're just walking through the store with your spouse or one of your kids. A little tougher with one of your kids because their legs are shorter, but they could keep rank. But there's 50,000 of them here. God is telling us that these are all men that are on the same page. These are all men heading in the same direction, at the same speed, for the same cause. But you know, this implies several things. It implies effort. One thing that, now you know, I never served in the military, was never in boot camp. But Amy's and our, my middle boy was. And when we went on base, though it wasn't a lot, we'd see men marching. Now why are they marching? Just for exercise or just because they don't have anything better? No, they're marching with a purpose. They're training. They're getting experience because it takes effort to be able to do that. To get a group of individuals moving in the same direction for the same cause at the same speed takes effort. That's why in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible tells us to endeavor to keep the bond of peace, or the bond of unity. I don't remember exactly how it's stated now. But it takes effort. They were unified. It takes submission or selflessness. Because if they all want to go their own direction, they're not going to be in unity. They're not going to be marching together. They're not going to be marching to the same direction or at the same speed. But they have to submit to their leader, who then marches them the same direction at the same speed for the same purpose. We've got a head. His name is Jesus Christ, who sits on the throne of heaven. And if we learn to follow Him, we'll be in step and we'll be going the same direction for the same cause, which is His glory. But we've got to yield and submit our will to His will for our church and for us as a part of that church family. You see, they were unified. They could keep rank. It led to their success. If we're going to have success as a church, if you're going to have success as an individual, you've got to take the effort and you've got to yield the will so that you can be unified. A third thing that unity requires is the desire for it. The desire for it. A lot of churches don't have unity simply because they have some people. Maybe it's only a small minority, but they don't care to have the unity. They want to exert themselves and it'll destroy a church. Most church splits happen because one or two people get out of sorts. And then they follow each other and they are separately, but they get a crowd to follow them or get some people to follow them, and a church split ensues. Because they never desired to have unity. They never desired to see God do anything. All they wanted to do is come and sit in church and be comfortable so that when they get to heaven, they can say they did what they were supposed to do. But at the judgment seat of Christ, they'll be in for a rude awakening. They'll find that they never did what they were supposed to have done. They may have been in church, but they never got involved and they weren't faithful. And God is going to withhold the rewards that He had intended for their lives. We've got to desire unity if it's ever going to happen. These warriors of Zebulun were successful because they were prepared, because they were unified. But there's one third thing that we see in this verse. I'd like to have the same success these men had. I'd like to be in a position, not just because it's me or because I want to build something special. Well, I do want to build something special, but all for the glory of God. But I'd like to be the kind of a church, be a part of the kind of a church that God is going to put up on a pedestal and say, see, look what they're doing. See what they have. Look at their characteristics and their qualities. Go out and do likewise. And you'll have success. That's what I'd like to see happen here at Calvary Baptist Church. I think we're well along the way, but I think we have lots of room to improve. They were prepared, they were unified, but thirdly, they were focused. They were focused. It tells us at the end of that verse, verse 33, they were not of double heart. They weren't distracted by anything. They had their focus on the finish line, and they kept their eyes on that finish line. Sometimes when I'm cutting my grass, I get to daydreaming. Well, thinking about other things than cutting the grass. And then I notice my cut lines look kind of like this. Yeah, laugh at me. You've been there. Want me to come inspect your grass? So what I've got to do when I notice the wavering lines, when I get to the end of a line and turn around, I look at something down in the distance, and I keep my eyes locked. I don't let anything distract me. And then when I turn around to do my next cut line, it's not like this anymore. It's right towards the goal of a straight line. You try it. If you've never done it, it'll work. You see, that's focus. And if you want to have success in your Christian life, you've got to have focus. You've got to see what the end goal is. And that end goal is nothing other than the Lord Jesus Christ. According to Hebrews chapter number 12, He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And we need to lock our eyes on the goal in order that we might pattern ourselves after Him, in order that we might see where we're supposed to be. You can't follow if you're not watching. I believe these warriors of Zebulun were focused because they knew what they wanted. Now, we already talked about desire, desiring unity. But these men knew specifically what they wanted out of life. Back in verse 23, it says why they came to Hebron was to turn the kingdom of Saul to David. In other words, to establish David. That was their goal. That was their focus. That's what they were looking at. That's what they marched after. And so they were all going the same direction, and they realized success because they were focused on the goal, on that which they wanted, and that what they wanted was right. Now, if what you want is what the world offers, you're not going to enjoy success as a Christian. You might achieve what you desire there, but you're not going to achieve success as a Christian. Too many Christians are trying to straddle the fence. I was reading, and I think I mentioned this Wednesday night. It's in the, I just put a new Sword of the Lord edition, but it was in the week before that, or the, they come out every 2 weeks, the issue before that, about a church that sold their building and bought a brewery so that they can serve beer with church. And so they have their church services. They have a part of it where they have the I guess you call it the auditorium. Now, are they going to get what they want out of life spiritually? Now, they're going to get their beer, and they may even get drunk. Most churches that do it, they do have a limit on how many beers you can have. But nevertheless, how many is too many? The first sip is too much, according to the Word of God. But they're not going to get what they want to hear. Now, what do you want to hear? What is that you desire out of life? At the end of this world, as we enter the next world, we want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I haven't heard I don't know of a single Christian yet who says, "I don't want to hear that. I want to hear wicked and unfaithful servant." I don't think there's a Christian alive that wants to hear that when it comes to stand before Christ, when they transfer from this world into the next. And so I believe we all want the same thing, but we're not going to get it if we're not focused on our Lord Jesus Christ. The world has so many distractions that draw us away, such as sports and things like that. We have to resist those temptations because the devil will fill our lives with those distractions. Know what you want and focus on it. Focus on it. Second reason why they were focused, not only did they know what they want, but they knew what was important in life. I remember just after I got saved, and I was already saved, but a gospel tract that was put out by Hiawatha Baptist Missions, now called Continental Baptist Missions. But they put out a tract. On the front, it just simply said, 100 years from now. Then you open it up, it's what will it matter? And it lists all these things that people are striving after in life. You've got to learn to prioritize in your life. What's really important? Is that extra hour of sleep really that necessary? Or do you need to get up in order to achieve what you want? Do you need to get up for church and Sunday school too on Sunday mornings? Is that hour of rest really that important that you can't make it out on Wednesday night in order to keep you going for the rest of the week? Physically, maybe it would be helpful, but spiritually you're going to die on the vine if you're not able to be here on Wednesday night. And you make that a habit. What's really important in your life? You've got to figure out, focus on what you want, and then you've got to figure out how to get that. And when you figure out how to get that, you've got to begin to evaluate what's really important. And you evaluate what's important by, will this help me get what I want? Or will this just become a distraction? We've got to learn to leave behind some distractions and focus on what we ought to focus on. I think a third thing involved with their focus, not only did they know what they wanted, not only did they know what was important, but I think thirdly, they knew what needed to be done. And maybe with that, I should have reworded that. They were willing to do what needed to be done. You see, I think the average Christian knows what needs to be done in their own Christian life. You know better in your life than certainly I know in your life. And I know what I need more in my life than you know I need in my life. But this is where the rubber meets the road. And this is what separated these warriors of Zebulun from so many others that were alive and perhaps even in the army of Israel at that time. This is what separated them. They were willing to do what was necessary. Willing to do what was necessary. You see, success doesn't happen by accident at any level. And if you want to achieve spiritual success, you've got to be prepared by being faithful, gaining experience, and always remaining teachable. If you want to experience spiritual success, you've got to have unity, which takes effort, yielding your will and your desires. And then you must be focused, knowing what you want, what's important to achieve that which you want, and then that willingness to do what needs to be done. Where are you spiritually this morning? Are you where you believe God wants you to be? Are you where you want to be in your walk with God? Maybe as we have the invitation, you just simply need to respond and say, God, I want to be like these warriors of Zebulun. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us this gem of a verse in the midst of what can be somewhat tedious to read. There's so much challenge here, so much more I could have brought out, and yet, Lord, I believe there's sufficient to challenge everyone in the room this morning. That each of us should be here at this old-fashioned altar, pouring out our hearts before you. That you would give us the success spiritually that our hearts so crave. That when we get to heaven, we'll hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Help us to be honest with our hearts now, that we might follow the lead of your Spirit. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.